Good morning. Well, I hope all of you had a lovely Easter. If you're wondering where Amy Elliott has been the past couple of weeks, she had surgery a week ago. And I wanted to share it last week, and I've been sitting down there praying, oh Lord, should I share, should I not? Because I hadn't asked her permission. And when I told her that, she went, could have told them, you know. So just for you to know, she did have surgery a week ago, and we have the happy news I wouldn't have had last week at this time, and that is that all of her tests came back clear and good. So that's happy news indeed. We're really grateful, but you can continue to pray for her because the recuperation will be lengthy, as they so often are. This past week, a gal came up to me on Saturday night, and I always love it when somebody who listens online lets me know, and so that's what she did. She came up and she said, I'm not able to come to the study because I homeschool, and of course, I immediately told her, you do know we have a room for homeschool kids, and by the way, I have been told that that room is great. One mother told me that she was so pleased because she said, my kids actually get their assignments done, you know. So she's really tickled at that. And I told Sherry, this gal, that very thing. But anyway, her thought was because she homeschooled, she couldn't come. But she said, every single week I listen online afterwards. And she said, I have loved this study. She said, where did you come up with these names? She said, I knew there were some different names, and I knew some of those names. She said, but a lot of these names I've never heard of. And I said to her, trust me, now you know why I say I have to do a lot of studying and preparation, because a lot of these names I didn't know either. And yet the truth is, for all of the names that we've gone through this year, it's just some of his names. He has so many names. And I hope you have enjoyed this the way I have, because truly it has ministered to me. And I have felt that in studying his names and seeing how he reveals himself to us, we have gotten to know him better. This morning we're going to be focusing on a name that is unique in many ways from all of the other names that we've been studied. And even though all the names we've been studying have been wonderful, this name has a particular quality to it of being more personal, more intimate. And I would hazard a guess that while I know that there are different women who have told me with the different names we've had that, oh, the name you went discussed this morning is the name I've always identified with. And I think that's been true for many of us through the study. But I would guess that this is a name that many of us, if not even all of us, would say, oh, I well know that name, because that is a presence that has been in my life multiple times over, and I am so grateful for that name. The name, Jehovah Rohi, and that's R-O-H-I, and it means the Lord my shepherd. And you might recall that when Marilyn Wyckoff shared her testimony, she shared that this was the particular name that just resonated to her in such a personal way. And ever since then, I've been dying to share on it, and yet truly I didn't feel until this week that this got to be the week, and I'm so happy about it. And my guess is when I mentioned the Lord my shepherd, many of you did a quantum leap to the 23rd Psalm, and we are gonna go through it, but in a minute, not quite yet. Because this psalm is not actually where the name is said the very first time. we always think of it as being the first time, but it's in Genesis 48 where we hear Jacob as he's blessing his grandsons. And of course, by this time, he's an old man. And perhaps by the vantage point of being an old man, he looks back on his life and he speaks of the Lord, and he says in verse 15, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day." I know a few years ago I was invited to a birthday party for Elaine Steadman. It was her 90th birthday party. And Elaine is the widow of Ray Steadman, if that name means anything to you. Probably a lot of you are too young to recognize it. He's been in heaven for 25 years, but even so, his books and his teachings are still available. Some radio stations carry them. Certainly you can go online and listen to them. But he is one of those giants that we have had who was just a solid biblical preacher and had the respect of many people, written many books, and I have a few of them. And I have just been blessed because even though he's been in heaven for 25 years, and so I never got to meet him, for about 20 years, I have enjoyed having Elaine as a friend in my life. And so I was very, very blessed to get to be invited to her 90th birthday party. And one of the highlights of that party was when her two granddaughters got up and sang her favorite hymn. And her favorite hymn is, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And I was thinking, even as Jacob perhaps had the vantage point of being old and looking back upon his life, well, Elaine at 90 had that vantage point as well. She could say, looking back on her life, "All the way my Savior has led me." And she loved every word. I'm going to read, and I know sometimes things can get lost when you don't have the wonderful melody that goes with it. But there were just three verses, and she said, "Every line I treasure, I cherish. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with a living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed and mortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way." And I have listened to that song ever since she kind of introduced me to it. And I have it on a CD, and I've let it play over and over and over, because its words are so comforting, so soothing, and I just love that. How we need to remember that that is who the Lord is to us. He's our shepherd, and he loves us, and he promises that he will lead us. So when we think of the Lord as our shepherd, whether through Jacob's eyes or perhaps the eyes of Elaine Steadman, all of that is very sweet, very comforting, very pleasing to our senses. And yet there's another aspect of this. If we're going to look at him as our shepherd, there's a very important aspect that we have to do, which may not necessarily be that easy for us, and that is we have to become humbled and see ourselves as sheep. Now, you know, I know there are some city slickers out here, and you think, oh, but sheep are so sweet, you know? They're just so adorable and cuddly. You know, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. You know, you have that kind of a connotation. But anyone here, including me, who has ever had sheep, you know that that is not what they're like. Oh yes, they are sweet. They do look really cute when they're all in a pasture. But try to do something with them and it's another thing entirely. And so for those of us who know about sheep and realize, so to enjoy him as my shepherd, I have to see myself as a sheep. That can be almost a little offensive, you know? And it's because sheep are stupid. Now think about it. Have you ever even once seen a sheep perform in a circus? No, of course you haven't, you know? And it's because they're basically impossible to train to do anything you want them to do. And of course, we don't like to see ourselves in that light, do we? There are two basic things that will help us to see why the Lord equates us with sheep. The first is that sheep lack wisdom. Essentially, sheep will go anywhere except in the right direction. They'll wander away from a perfectly lush pasture to a barren one. They can easily get lost and then not know how to find its way home. If they happen to fall into the water because their wool gets wet and gets so heavy, they'll probably drown unless there's someone there to rescue them. Even if they inadvertently lie down on the slightest incline that causes them to go to their side, they can't right themselves again. And the truth is that they will suffocate unless someone happens to see them and gets them upright. I actually experienced that with one of our sheep. I mean, a slight incline. And I had the vet out, and the vet said, oh, it's because it rolled on its side and couldn't get back up again, you know? There were many other things, but I thought that's enough for us to know. The second is that sheep, as you might guess, are totally dependent. You know, you might see wild dogs or wild cats, but I will tell you, you will never see a wild sheep. If you see a sheep, the one thing you can absolutely know with certainty is that it belongs to someone, because there's no way that that sheep can take care of itself. It can't feed itself, it can't protect itself, it can't even keep itself where it's supposed to be. They have no natural means to protect or provide for themselves. You know, they're not like the porcupine who has quills or the skunk who has a scent. They don't even have the claws of a cat or the teeth of a lion. Thinking of lions with Paula. By the way, it's so great to have Paula back. She's been gone in Africa for 3 weeks, and it's wonderful to see her. But to sum up, sheep are totally stupid and completely dependent. And see, that is what the Lord wants us to see about ourselves. We like to compare ourselves as thinking of ourselves as wise, you know? We like to think that being independent is a virtue. We like being independent. In fact, that's a trait that shows up in the smallest of toddlers. Any mother here has heard the words, if she has a toddler, I do it myself. You know, that's what's in us. We want to do things ourselves. We want that independence. We like to think that we can provide for ourselves, that we can protect ourselves, that we can take care of our own needs, whether that's clothing or shelter or food. Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. So if we would see the Lord as our shepherd, the first thing we need to do is see ourselves as needy as sheep. Once we can actually humbly accept that truth, then we can rejoice in knowing that everything that the Good Shepherd is to the sheep, our God Jehovah is to his people. Now you can turn to Psalm 23. Of course, David is the author of this psalm, and we know that he was one who knew all about sheep. He was a shepherd, wasn't he? He was one who had kept sheep and knew all about them. And David himself was one who knew all about fear, depression, betrayal, grief, different things that are going to be included in this psalm. So the one who wrote this knew of what he was speaking about. He understood the sheep well. And this is a psalm I know that all of us know, many of us have probably memorized. It's a psalm that I think it is, what I understand, the most popular of all psalms in terms of the most memorized. This is the psalm that you very often hear read at a memorial service or at the side of someone in the hospital. It's read to prisoners. It's one of those psalms that's so familiar, and it's poetic. Even children are very often taught it and encouraged to memorize it. Spurgeon called this the pearl of psalms. And it is one of those wonderful psalms. And the thing that makes it so wonderful is that it is so personal. It's so comforting. In verse 1 it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is exactly where God wants to bring us. He wants us to come to that place where we recognize that Jehovah Rohi, God, my shepherd, with him I shall not want. That's an amazing concept. And I love the confidence in which it is expressed. I shall not want. And the Lord is my shepherd. It's not spoken in kind of a wistful, hopeful way that if he's my shepherd, it's spoken with confidence. Then the very fact that it's speaking of personal relationship, the Lord, my shepherd. This is how the Lord wants us to know him. That's the thing that we've been seeing and going through the study week after week, is that the Lord wants to be known by us. And that's why he has revealed himself to us in so many ways. He wants to be known by us. And what a lovely thing for us to be focusing on this week, that he is my personal shepherd, your personal shepherd. And I hope that that is a way that each one of us know him. You know, we just had a wonderful weekend with Easter. And we were all celebrating the fact that Jesus rose again. And we can think of even Easter, we can think of the cross in more general ways, you know, that Jesus died for all mankind, which he did. But he wants us to also know and to think in terms of Jesus died for me. And so I love the fact that the Lord is telling us in a personal way that he is our shepherd and that he wants us to know that with him as our shepherd, we will not want. In Psalm 84, the verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, I love this verse, and it was actually sent to me this morning as well. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Interesting that I'm having trouble with my throat. Every once in a while this happens, but I have come to recognize it often happens at very pertinent times. I can experience this when I am talking to someone, encouraging a woman who wants to leave her marriage. And truly, one minute I'm totally fine, the next minute I'm coughing so hard, tears are rolling down my cheeks, and I feel just like somebody has me by the throat. And then the minute I change the subject, like now, it goes away. And I'm thinking, you know, the last thing the enemy wants us to know, that we have a personal shepherd, a God who loves us and promises to be everything we are in need of. I love that truth. And right in the very first verse, he's telling us that if he is our shepherd, there will be no want. And I think we live in a time where there's a lot of want, isn't there? You know, you can't go anywhere but you don't see commercials, advertisements. You can buy things online now. You don't even have to go to the store. Everything will come right to your house. That's we live in that kind of a world, that kind of a society. And the Lord wants us to know that with him, he is all we need. And see, if we see him in that way and love him in that way and have that relationship with him, the truth is, he will be all we want. And what a lovely place that is to be in. You know, think about what that verse is saying to you and to me. Can you say, I have no want? Or do you already have a list of the next things that you are saving for, the next thing that you want? The Lord would say that if I'm in want, he's not my shepherd. If there's emptiness or loneliness or despair in my life, it's only revealing that the Lord is not my shepherd. verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What I love about these verses is David now starts to show us how the good shepherd meets the need of the sheep. And throughout this psalm, there are other names of God that are implied. And so when I come to one of those names, I'm just going to kind of throw it in as a parenthetical thought. And so in this case, where the good shepherd meets the needs of the sheep, Jehovah Jireh. He not only takes them to lush pastures, but he leads them by quiet waters where they can drink. And that's another thing about sheep. Sheep won't drink from moving, turbulent water. They could be thirsty, 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 but the water has to be still. When the sheep has been fed, when it's had its drink, then it can lie down, because all their needs have been met, and because they feel safe with the shepherd, they can rest. Jehovah Shalom. It's a perfect picture of our needs as well. I love the very fact that the first needs that are addressed are our inner needs, my inner needs, your inner needs, and that is to be quieted by him, to find rest and nourishment in him. What a serene picture that is for all of us. And so how does the shepherd do this in our lives? Where do we find that which will nourish our soul, will comfort us, provide us rest? We will find it as we go to him in his word, as we take that time with him each day. He'll give us that deep peace within, and he will restore our souls. Jehovah Rapha. He'll also provide the strength. Knowing what each day holds, he'll provide the strength we need for that day ahead. In verse 3, the second part, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I don't know how many times you have noticed, but in this study, there are so many different verses that I come upon, or I read them just in my own time, and I see something referring to his name. And I love that. You know, it's, we can, anytime we see anything referring to his name, we can think of all that goes behind it. You know, Albert Einstein's wife was asked by people, so do you understand the theory of relativity? She said, no, I don't. She says, but I do know Albert. And if he says it works, then it works. And if we have a shepherd who says to us that he will provide for us, he will lead us and guide us. We may not know exactly how he's going to do it, but if we know him, we'll be able to rest in that truth. We might think, I don't know how he's going to get me out of this situation, but I know he will do it because I know his name. And if I know his name, I can bank on the truth of his faithfulness, of his goodness, that if he says something and it's in his name, his whole reputation is at stake, so to speak, and he will follow through and be faithful. We all need to know that he will lead us. There's not one of us who isn't in that place of needing direction, probably on a daily basis if we really knew it. Did you notice where it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness? Jehovah Tsidkenu. The fact that he will lead me in his paths of righteousness is one of the things that I would say I consciously rely on daily. Every day, I count on the Lord to lead me and to show me the way he has for me. I love how I'll see that in the most practical of ways, in even the appointments I have in a day. And I might have a really full day, and then someone cancels. Or it may seem like a really quiet morning, and then people just walk into the church. I mean, the Lord leads us, and we should be thrilled that he does. And instead of resisting that direction, resisting that leading, be thankful that he does it. You know, the enemy wants us to fret about that direction and about decisions we have to make in life. He wants us to feel burdened by them, with this mindset as if it all depends on me. You know, these decisions, everything comes down to me. But this is why we need the wisdom of recognizing I'm just a sheep. Yeah. I cannot tell you how freeing it is to finally truly declare how stupid you are. Seriously, it's like, I finally said it. I mean, it actually is freeing. And I have said that to the Lord many times. And when in preparing teachings, some of the teachings that were just like so over my head, I would sit at my desk and I'd say, God, you know I'm not up to this. You know I can't do this. I am counting on you. My puny brain will not be able to come up with a teaching, but I'm trusting that you will give it to me. It's freeing to just be able to say, you're stupid. You know, if you haven't experienced it, try it. You'll like it. And James 1, I think it'd be great if you turned there because it's such a good passage. In verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So that means, yes, we are to ask for wisdom, to know that he will give it to us. But when we ask not only in expectation that he's going to give it to us, but with determination that whatever he shows us, we will act upon. We will do what he says. Obedience to him is so important. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think many of us know what it's like to go through dark times. It might be a divorce. It might be a diagnosis that has a very poor prognosis. It could be losing a job. There are so many things, a prodigal. There are so many things that would qualify as dark times, and the Lord knows that we're going to have them. And yet he promises that with him as our shepherd, we will be able to say, I fear no evil. we can be comforted by the fact that we know he is our shepherd and he will be with us, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord tells us that in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And of course, that's Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. And we haven't gone over that name yet. But the verse goes on to say, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And as for the rod and the staff, we all know that there are times that sheep need to be rescued, and that little crook on the staff can be put around the leg and they can be pulled into safety, or it can be used to tap the sheep on the side for direction or correction. Not in a way that it's like whap, 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 you know. No shepherd does that. But the truth is, we all need that rod and that staff. We need the direction, we need the correction. And I can personally testify in my own life that the Lord's discipline has always been so full of love. I need that. I want that correction in my life because I know that I can wander off. And if I wander off, it will be for my own destruction. You know, like the hymn says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. That's who I am. And I can trust my good shepherd to rescue me from myself. And he will rescue you from yourself as well. Verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Jehovah Makadesh. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here David changes the metaphor from the good shepherd to a wonderful, gracious host who is spreading a banquet before us. And yet it says, in the presence of mine enemies. And the thing that I would remind you is, you know, I think we all want to picture life without the enemies, you know. But do you want to know it's not heaven till heaven? And as long as we're on this earth, there are going to be enemies. Sadly, sometime the enemy will be within. But there will be enemies, and yet in the middle of that, he will provide a banquet for us if he is our shepherd and we are leaning on him. I love the fact this picture illustrates all that David has been describing in the previous verses, that God feeds, provides, leads and protects. And it's all seen now in this symbol of a gracious host. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I love in verse 6 where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That follow actually means pursue. What a lovely thought that the goodness, the mercy of God pursues us all the days of our lives. They'll pursue us in those good times and in bad. During those dreary winter days and the sunny days of summer. In John 10, Jesus said in the 11th verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is our good shepherd. And I am so thankful that he totally welcomes our complete dependency on him, that he knows fully how dumb we are, and yet loves us so completely. Isaiah 40, verse 11 tells us that he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that are with young. You know, there are very few things that we can count on in this life. We can't count on wealth. We can't count on our health. We can't even count on family and friends. But we can always count on the goodness and the love of God, and to know that he promises it to us throughout our lives. No wonder this is a name that we all love. It's tender, it's gracious, and it's strong. Our good shepherd will provide, protect, and direct us. May we listen for his voice, and may we always follow where he leads. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. Lord, that you know how stupid we are, how much we need you, how we lack wisdom, how we even don't know how to protect or provide or to direct ourselves. Forgive us for when we think we do. Lord, your word tells us that with you as our shepherd, we will not want. And my prayer is that we would really examine ourselves today to see where we are on that, Lord. Do we want? Because if we do want, then you're not our shepherd. And Lord, if we're pondering and praying about different decisions and direction in our lives, Lord, even as it says in James, you tell us to ask. You tell us if we know we need wisdom, ask for it, but then you promise that you will provide it. And the one thing you tell us that we need to do is then to heed it, to obey it. That if we ask and don't obey, then we're double-minded. We don't want to be double-minded, Lord. We want to hear your voice and obey. We want to hear your voice and follow. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and that you tell us you are going to pursue us with it for all of our days. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.